It's this big. That's because there's not a lot of words in it. And you know what the Russian word for milk is? Milk. Okay, almost, I would say a third of the words in Russian come from another language. They didn't have concept. The other thing I like about it is, you know, you have to go. Have to go is how you say it in Russian. You got to fill in the you, that kind of thing. They're not in there. In Greek, it's very, very colorful on that. It really says that. But Advent. Well, Advent is not a Greek word. It's a Latin word. Where do we see that word? Adventure. What does adventure mean? Going out and trying something new, yes? Okay. Experiencing something that is fulfilling in the future. And in the church, we call that Advent. An interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? So, going back to my first question, why do we go to church? It's to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ. Isn't that why we're here? So we're ready to go? I want to read you something. Pull up your bulletin to the gospel lesson. We're going to look at the epistle lesson, but I want to look at the gospel lesson first. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will lead you astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet." And I'm going to jump down to verse 9. "But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them." Boy, that's really positive, isn't it? It's not, is it? All right, so we all face spiritual warfare, don't we? The devil's always trying to get us to do something wrong or to get us to go something that's against what God wants. So, if you are a Christian, the most important thing is the forgiveness of sins, because that entitles you to your eternal life with God in heaven. Am I right? All right, so stop and think about this. So what's the devil going to try and do? He's going to try and pull you away from that. So he wins, you lose. But yet you're sitting here preparing for the second coming. Go back to the epistle lesson. I love the book of Hebrews. In fact, it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. And there's conjecture that Priscilla wrote it, and we know that it's probably the only book in the Bible that was written by a woman. All right, go down to verse 19, the full assurance of faith. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. Remember in the temple, you had the Holy of Holies that no one could go in except for the high priest once a year. And at the time of his crucifixion, what happened? The curtain was torn in half and opened up for all. All right, so Jesus' blood and flesh become the new curtain, and they're open all the time for us. That debt has been paid. Verse 21, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God," remember we call Jesus the prophet, the priest, and the king. Okay? He's the priest of the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart. Have we ever heard that in church before? Why do you think we have confession and absolution at the start of our services? It's one of the things that makes us Lutheran. Draw near with a true heart. Okay? Means when we approach him, our sins are forgiven. And it's in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What's our hope? The promise of eternal life. Remember, Christianity was not called Christianity until after the Christians were started to be killed in the Roman Empire. Remember Nero and the fire of Rome blamed the Christians. And so what they did is they put Christians on a stake in every block, covered them with oil, and set them on fire. They became the lanterns of the city of Rome that night. Not a nice guy, was he? But they were blamed. So they were the followers of that Christ, therefore they became Christian. The name of the religion from the very beginning was the promise of eternal life. So the hope that we have is the hope of that promise. So we hold fast the confession. We confess that hope. We confess that we believe without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He's going to be faithful to us. Remember, as long as he is in us, we are in him and in God. He's faithful to us. Therefore, we are faithful to him. It goes back and forth. Remember, what we give to him, we get back tenfold. That's that same thing. We are in this. It's a partnership. Okay? Except ours is a heavenly partnership, not just a contract. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, are you saved by what you do? No. Okay. James, in the book of James, in the second chapter, a faith without works is a dead faith. Well, there's pretty lot of law in there, isn't it? Well, one thing about the book of James, it was written in two halves. First half, before the first council in Jerusalem in 59 AD, and in the second half after that. First half is justification by works. So you have a faith without works is a dead faith. The second half is saved by grace through faith. And you can see that conversion in the middle, because that's when he had Paul and James and Barnabas, or Paul and Barnabas and Peter and all these people coming in and telling him he was wrong. But was he totally wrong when he said, faith without works is a dead faith? Aren't we called to action as Christians? Isn't that why we're here? But do we have to do that? Or do we want to do that? See, there's the difference. We're not forced to do it for salvation. We're doing it because of the love he had for us and the love we have for him. There's that partnership again. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. In other words, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God. You know how many times I've heard that? So do you? Well, yeah, every day I talk to God. I said, really? When's the last time you prayed? That's usually what I get. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you think that day is coming close? I do. In the Nunc Dimittis, which we used to have, when Jesus was taken to the temple and he met the high priest, we used to say this and sing it every Sunday. Lord, now let us me depart in peace, according to thy will. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He knew Jesus was the salvation. And he was happy. He was ready to go. If the second coming comes, if Jesus and the apostles walk through that door because they're here. Of course, now I could just hear somebody saying, well, yeah, but we're just too small for that to happen. No. Jesus and the apostles could come right in here today and say, it's time. How come you didn't meet me up in the air? That was a little flippant, but, you know, that's what Paul says is going to happen. But you see my point? If we're ready to go, we need to be prepared. And that's what Advent is. It's four Sundays out of the church year that we celebrate the second coming of Jesus Christ. Isn't that the reason we're here? You know, is there something wrong with that? No. In fact, maybe it's something we should be talking more about during the church year. But the thing is, we do have four. But yet, you know, I've always preached on the Advent wreath, which we got to get a new one. The other one died in the hurricane. Faith, love, joy, and peace are the four Sundays of Advent. Faith, love, joy, and peace. Isn't that the basic tenets of Christianity? And isn't that what we're hoping for in our lives? Folks, we are coming into the beginning of the church here and our celebration of the second coming of Jesus Christ. What a blessing that we can celebrate that. Many places in the world, that's not the case. But I know one thing, that just by being here, doing what we're doing, is pleasing to our Lord and Savior. And may the celebration of Advent help keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.